I believe that God has something to say to you today. That's cool. Like, that was very powerful. There was a line in a song that we sang that I think is really important as we're doing this whole series on enjoying the journey. The line was, "My heart is satisfied." And that's kind of the thing we have to get to in our lives with Jesus. We have to get to a place of being satisfied in Him, of being free in Him, of really seeing Him as our primary treasure and us as His primary treasure and being satisfied with Him and in Him. There's so many things that we can have. There's so much stuff in this world to grab onto, but in reality, it doesn't really amount to a lot. It doesn't really amount to joy. It doesn't really amount to peace. Somebody said, well, you know, money can't buy you happiness. Another guy says, well, it can buy you the kind of misery you can enjoy, you know, but that's not really true either, right? Because it's like money is just a tool. And just we accumulate things. And I just think like one of the things we have to do as believers is we have to lay it down at the feet of Jesus. So that doesn't mean that today I'm asking you to take your wallets and your bank accounts and your retirement savings accounts and just give it away. What I'm saying is you have to take that and transfer it into Jesus' name and say, whatever you want me to do with whatever I have, I'm willing to do for you and I'm willing to give it for you. And He may never ask you to, but He wants to know that you're willing to. And that doesn't just include money. That includes our relationships. That includes a lot of things. Our comfort sometimes. You know, like I think about some of the people, you know, who have laid down their lives on the mission field, not willing that any should perish, but that they would go. I remember, like, I think it was, what was the guy's name? He was a missionary to India, but there was a story he wrote in one of his books about this other missionary that went over to China, I think. And before they even landed, they were attacked by the natives, and they were killed. And so years later, another missionary group came to that place, and they found this hut on the shore. And in the hut, there was pages of the Bible all over that hut. And there was a church there that was starting and strong. I think it was Hudson, maybe, that I read that in. But it was, there's just, like that, to be able to say, I'm going to go, and maybe I will never get a word out of my mouth, but I'm going to go in obedience to God, and I'm going to lay my life down. There's joy in that journey. I was telling you, there's joy in the journey when we just lay it down for Him. So we're enjoying the journey. And I'm not going to do a whole kind of recap today because I really want to kind of get to my last point quickly, and then we're going to spend a little time there. But last week we started talking about like what we leave behind when we go on a journey, right? So here's some of the things we need to give up when we go on a journey with God, all right? Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that hearts will be open today. Lord, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us and work in us. Lord, that You would challenge us. Lord, for the ones who, Lord, have a kind of white-knuckle grip on everything, God, I just pray that You'd just help them to relax their grip, to let some things go. Lord, for the ones who always feel like that I'm talking to them, Lord, that You would just, Lord, let them know that just talking to everybody and You're just wanting to get a message through so they'll just relax and let You speak to their hearts, Lord, for Lord, the one today who's scared and worried and uptight, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, You'd speak peace to their hearts today and that they would experience that peace in Jesus' name. Amen. So what you need to do to get ready for the journey, right, or while you're on the journey, if you're already on this journey, is number one thing I think you need to do is let go of your stuff. You need to let go of your stuff. So here's what it says in Luke chapter 12. Verse 29 to 32, it says, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. How many of you would like to just relax? Hey, like just to breathe deep breaths and just say, it's okay. Yeah? Anybody like that? Like, I think there's a lot of people that are just would just love to be able to relax. Well, this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I'm just trying to get you to relax. Not to be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. The key to being relaxed is to stop being so preoccupied. Right? Stop being so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. We hold on to the things of this world as though they have value greater than what they really do. But what God really wants to do is give us his kingdom. And we've been talking about, you know, we don't live just for this world. The world that we live in, this time we live in, these breaths we have on earth are just such a small part of our life. Just really a flicker. And so Jesus is trying to get us in touch with his kingdom way, with how he and his kingdom work. And I think one of the things we have to really fully understand is this kingdom is not like this world we're living in. There's glimpses of it here. There's shadows of it here. There's little peeks into what it's like here. In those moments like yesterday, you know, Jackie posted on Facebook that her daughter Jenna is pregnant and going to have a baby. And like she lost a baby at birth a couple of years ago. That was hard. But I'll tell you what, in those moments, right, when we hear that she's pregnant and that she's expecting a baby, and when we hear that that baby is born, those are glimpses of heaven. That's a bit of what heaven feels like. You know, when somebody has been going through a long-term trouble and then they break through and then we see the joy that's come on their face, that's a glimpse of heaven, right? When we experience the presence of the Lord here as we worship him in the service, that's a little glimpse of heaven. But it's nothing like what heaven's really going to be like. It's nothing what the kingdom of God, okay? So we get all tied up in heaven. We get new earth. We got all this teaching, you know, about after this life is over. But we know that we're going to spend our life with Jesus in his presence. And that God's going to carry us and we're going to enjoy him. But I just want to just kind of point out some of the things that I think are important to remember in this new kingdom that we belong to. And especially when we see it fully. The Bible, Paul says these words. He said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Right now we can see a little bit of it, but then it's going to be so clear. But I just think about, you know, say we're done and we're just gathering together now as the body of Christ on the other side, right? Where there's no more sin, there's no more pain, there's no more sickness, there's no more, you know, any of that. And we're getting together this morning and you give someone a hug and it's real, right? It's real. You're not thinking about how that person ticked you off, or you're not wondering what that person wants from you, or you don't, any of that kind of stuff. It's just clean and it's pure. And it's wonderful. And like you wake up in the morning and you don't have the pressure, right? Like I like working. I love it. I actually like to work. But I think most people lose the joy in work because of the pressure that goes with it. Because it's not joyful. People are trying to scramble their way to the top. People are trying to make a living. It becomes about the money. It's all this. But when we get to the kingdom, when we're in the kingdom of God, when we fully understand, we can experience this on earth to a degree. But right, when we start living for Jesus instead of for stuff, and when we start living for Jesus instead of for ourselves, right, we can experience this. But we get up in the morning and we work and it's like all beautiful. It's wonderful. But your back don't hurt, right? When you get out of bed, you don't have to like do that, the over 50 crowd, right? When you're getting out of bed and you feel that little, just a little bit, not Lorraine, but I had a little bit. But anyway, some people do, right? But there's a little bit of pain. Some people walk in. And then you get to the shower and you start feeling better. But when you step out of bed, it's not even going to be pain. It's going to be just life flowing through you, just building in you and just growing and just wonderful. It's like, you know, you get younger instead of older. You start feeling better instead of worse. And there's less pressure and less trial and less struggle. Right? Your relationships are pure. You get to be with Jesus. Like, just see him face to face. I know. Like, there's a few people that have said to me, what are you going to do? Don't you have a million questions when you get to heaven? And I'm like, no, no, I don't think so. I think I'm just going to get in line and get my hug from Jesus. Like, and it's going to be just wonderful. It is. And we can experience that to a degree here. Never fully because of what this world has become. But we can experience that partly here. But God is bringing us into a kingdom that's pure and beautiful and wonderful and clean and powerful. And he wants us to look at that now instead of what we're looking at. All the anxiety gone about what strings are attached to what people are giving to you or doing for you. Right? All about what it's going to cost me. Right? That comes because you have been waiting for. This comes as freedom because we are willing to fully surrender to Christ all the things that we held so dear. The Holy Spirit's always been urging us to do that, to give to Him, to give our stuff to Him, because what He has up for us is far better than what we have now. He wants us to see that the trade-off is really one-sided. It's all on God's side. He just wants to give. It's like us bringing an old piece of chewed-up gum to God and Him giving us everything, all the riches that He has. He's given it to us. We have nothing to offer Him, but like He's given us wealth beyond our wildest dreams. He's even more than that. There's just a sense of peace, and there's a sense of joy. And there's a sense of security when we connect with God in that way, when we let go of our stuff. Even that desire that maybe now is twisted, right? That desire for dominion. When we come into the kingdom of God, that's a desire He put in us to have dominion, to rule, to populate, to have all this stuff. It was His desire. It's not an evil desire to govern or to rule. He gave us that desire. But it's going to be pure. And it's going to be clean. It's not going to be like, you owe me or do this because I'm the boss. Or it's going to be clean. It's going to be pure. God has a place for us that's so awesome that we can't even imagine. He has something prepared for us. The Bible said that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. And still sometimes we just hold on to our piece of chewed up gum. And we say, it's mine. I can't let it go. And God's asking us, saying, give me your stuff. I want you to be free. I want you to not be anxious. I want you to worry about everything. I want you to actually relax. But you have to stop being so preoccupied with getting and just give it to me. So open your hand, give me that chewed up mess you have in your hand, and I'm going to give you something beyond what you could ask or imagine. Second thing, we need to let go of our rights. This is a very fundamental thing in our culture, our human rights, our rights. We have a right. We have a right. And we do have rights as believers. We do have rights, but they're not our rights, they're God's. He's given us. So I'm going to read you from Philippians chapter 2. I think this is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. In Philippians 2, verse 1 to 9, it says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart and if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. But put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, He set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, He stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling experience. He didn't claim special privileges or rights. Instead, He lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death of that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted Him high and honored Him far beyond anyone or anything ever. We cling to our rights, and, And then we spend all our time and resources trying to protect those rights. We have a right. I have a right to be heard. I have a right to, like, be angry. I have a right to, you know, worry. I have a right to whatever. I have all these rights. And we've grown up in a culture where rights are so supreme that like, now a three-year-old has the right to decide things that his parents can't tell him no. It's ridiculous. Our culture has gone mad. And partly it's our fault, because as believers, we haven't been salt and light. We've held on to our own rights and then wonder why the world is going crazy, when God's told us to give up our rights, to live for Him, to follow Him. And He said to look to Jesus, right? The author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He suffered the shame. And He now sits at the right hand of God the Father. When you go tired, the Bible said, look to Jesus. When you're flagging in your faith, look to Jesus, because He saw something ahead of Him that was made Him willing to lay down all His deity, all His rights, all His everything that belonged to Him, because the prize was you. The prize was me. And the prize is still the yous and me's out there that nobody has reached yet. And will we be willing to lay down our rights the way Jesus did, for the joy that would be set before us? For those people that we know that don't know Jesus, will we be willing to give up some of our own rights and our own, you know, respect and maybe our own, like, a little bit of, like, pride by just sharing Jesus with people? By praying for someone, even if you don't know or don't maybe think that God's going to answer the prayer, you might look stupid. Would you be willing? Would you lay down your right to be cool? Would you lay down your right to pride and just take your chance and share Jesus with somebody? Pray with somebody. Invite somebody to a small group. Invite somebody to church. Invite somebody into the kingdom of God. Would you be willing to lay down your right to be all that in a bag of chips so that somebody could find Jesus? Like, honestly. Some things we hold on to so dear that we're going to get to heaven and we're going to go, I should have spent that. That was currency I had to spend. That was something that I had that I could have given away. I remember the movie Schindler's List. At the end of the movie, you know, the guy had bought so many Jews back. He paid for so many Jews and he'd bring them into his factory and they work for him. At the end, he said, well, I still have this car. I could have sold the car. I could have got two more. I have this watch. I could have bought five more. I had this ring. I could have bought two more. How many of us will stand in heaven one day and say, well, I still have my pride intact. I could have had two more. I still have my whatever. And I wasn't willing to lay that down for the sake of the joy that was set before of me and you to reach people for Christ. Like, we got to lay down our rights. Sorry, I'm getting a little passionate. Number three. We need to let go of our money. Again, I'm not saying that everybody needs to sign over their bank accounts here this morning. I don't believe that. But this is what the Bible says. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 to 34. It says, be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourself a bank account that can't go bankrupt. A bank in heaven far from bank robbers. Safe from embezzlers. A bank that you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being. The place where your treasure is where the place you'll most likely be and end up being. God doesn't need your money, but He wants your heart. He wants your heart. And you know what? Some people here have lots, and some people here have little. And either one, it's hard to give it up. It's maybe harder for the one who has little, because for the one who has little, maybe it's like that's their last meal. Like the lady, the widow's mite, you know, the lady Jesus watched her come up and put a couple little copper coins into the thing worth maybe a penny. And He said, this woman's given more than anyone else. It could be harder. It could be easier, but it doesn't matter. God wants your heart. He wants you to lay it down for Him. Adam and Eve, you know, like they had the whole garden. probably thousands of trees. It doesn't really say how many trees, but there's thousands of trees. He said, don't take from this tree. Don't take from this tree. This tree is mine. And Adam and Eve, though they had the whole garden, decided they were taken from that tree, the one that belonged to the Lord. And we do that sometimes as believers. God said, here, if you have 90%, that 10% belongs to me. And some of us just keep that, our fists so tight, our grip so tight on, and we want to take what really belongs to the Lord. And if you're here this morning, you've done that. If you're holding on to what belongs to God, let it go. Not because the church needs it, but because you need to let go. Because God wants to do something far greater. He wants to take that little piece of bubble gum you have that's all chewed up and turn it into something so much more. And you know what? When you stop worrying about money, your life gets a lot better. And I know when you're struggling and you got to put food on the table, I know. We, Christina, and I have had those issues in life too. But when your answer becomes money instead of your answer being God, there's a problem. Because money can't answer you. God can. And you just need to trust Him. You need to give it to Him. You need to let it go. Are you here hanging on today to the tide today and afraid to release it? If you let it go, you'll see what He can do. It's awesome. Fourth thing is we need to let go of our willfulness and pride. I talked a little bit about this with our rights, but we would say, most of us would say, well, no, I'm not proud. I'm not willful. But here's the truth. Whenever we want to solve our own problems, whenever we want to carry our own load, we're being willful and proud. As much as that doesn't make sense, it's not responsibility. In the kingdom of God, whenever we don't trust God with our stuff, with our problems, with our decisions, then we're being willful and proud. Here's what it says in James chapter 4, verse 4 to 10. It says, you're cheating on God if all you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover, that's God, about us. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud, and God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. God goes against the willfully proud, but He gives grace to the willful humble. And pride is not only for people who look nice and who get to be at the front of things and who have everything you could ever dream in life. That's not what pride is all about. Pride is all about saying, I can do it myself. Pride is all about saying, I don't need anybody. I could do this myself. I struggle with this because, Christine, you can ask Christine, like, I can do it myself. I will help everybody, but I will never ask for help. It's my thing, right? Like, I don't ask. So, and even if you offer, sometimes I say, no, it's okay, I got this. That's pride. Sorry to say, that's pride. And when God has made a way for us, and God has surrounded you, as Jamie even said this morning, with people who love God and are willing to walk with you and care for you and love you, and you just do it on your own, that's pride. When you look for every other answer except to God, that's pride. The Bible says, though, He'll give grace. Grace is God's ability to get the job done on your behalf when you're not able to do it to the humble. When you're willing to say, I can't do this on my own. I can't handle this. I need help with this. God's grace just, boom, it's like a supercharger. It's like when you put your foot down on the pedal of a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, and it just goes. Like, that's what grace is like. I was listening, I read it, this doesn't have anything to do with my message, but I was laughing about it. I was reading online the other day, this guy has a Lamborghini, he lives in Edmonton. And he's people are all bent out of shape because he puts his Lamborghini on the road in the winter, right? He drives it all winter. He says, well, I bought the Lamborghini for fun. And he said, there's no funner time to drive than in the winter, so I'm keeping my Lamborghini on the road, right? But that's the way grace is, though. We have all this power that God wants to use on our behalf. And sometimes we live a boring life because we're just struggling all the time, trying to figure it out ourselves. We're trying to read all the self-help books. We're trying to read all the health books. We're trying to read all the Think and Grow Rich books. We're trying to do all these things when God just said, come to me. When he said, trust in me. When he said, just humble yourself and admit that you can't do this on your own. And I'm going to come along and I'm going to supercharge you and your life. So this is my last point, and I have some time. But I want you to think about a couple things as we get into this point. Jamie already said, you know, there's a devil that's working out there, and he's trying to take you out. I really believe this with all my heart. I believe one of the things in our culture, in Western culture, we become so smart there's no devil anymore. We become so smart there's no supernatural power anymore. We just think God's good and there's no devil and we just get by. But there's a real devil. He's trying to take you out. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to bring you life and more life and more life and an abundant life. That's what he said. That was his promise. And we have to believe that that's true. So my next point is this. Come to Jesus with all your stresses and all your cares. Judah, can you play that video? Seem a lot like that verse I just quoted to you. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Like, stress will do that to your life. Stress will, prolonged stress will take you out. So I just really feel like God wants to set you free from stress today. And I believe stress has a really kind of demonic root to it. I believe that the devil really finds places in our life that he gets a stronghold in them, and then we stress. A lot of that happens during times of trauma. A lot of that happens during times of just prolonged anxiety. So, I don't know if you've ever dealt with prolonged anxiety, with a struggle that's gone on for a long time in your life. Well, these things get strongholds in us. It's like it digs in, sort of like if you had a tick. And it got on you, right? And it just dug its way into you. If you flick the tick off early and you clean it, then it's okay. But when it digs in and finds a stronghold in you, it'll start taking you apart. It's horrible. Lyme's disease is a horrible disease. And God's came to set us free from that too. But that deal, that whole idea of strongholds in your life, it really is a real thing. But God said, that's what the devil came to do. He came to set up some strongholds in you to take the joy out of your life, to take your health away, to take your freedom away, to take these things away. But I've come, what? To give you life. And what kind of life? Abundant life. So these are some real statistics. These were taken from websites. Like, I'm going to quote some American statistics. I can't quote you where they came from, but I did look them up, but I didn't write down. I can find them for you. But it says, this is American statistics. I think that it's probably as true here as it is in the States, but maybe more. So 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects from stress. 43%. That's four people in every 10 that are in this room are suffering from the adverse effects of stress. 75% to 90% of all doctor office visits are for stress-related ailments and complaints. 75 to 90%. Stress can play a part in problems such as headaches, high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, skin conditions, asthma, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, so that would be like workman's comp here is what they are there in the States, declare stress a hazard of the workplace. Stress costs American industry more than $300 billion annually. If you divide in Canada, that's $30 billion of our budget goes towards stress-related ailments. The lifetime prevalence of an emotional disorder is more than 50%, often due to chronic untreated stress reactions. So 50% of people with emotional disorders are caused by untreated stress reactions. One in every five, this is right from StatsCan, one in every five people in Canada suffer from stress in day-to-day life because of work in Canada. One in every five people have a large degree of stress because of their work. One in five because of family. One in six people because of financial concerns. And I think these stresses are just as common today in the church as they are in regular everyday world. But it ought not to be. There should be freedom for us. There should be freedom for everyone because Jesus came to set us free. So what do we do as believers? What do we do as believers when we have and we are suffering from stress? I know about it because last year with all the stuff we were going through with our family, I went through some really big, and our family's going through some big life-altering problems, really both sides of our family, Christine's side and mine. And I was trying to take a huge part of that care for my family to the point that I wasn't sleeping well. I was having symptoms of anxiety and depression. I was suffering in my health because of all the stress I was under. So I literally had to reach the end of myself and turn to Jesus. It was dumb on my part, not wise, because I'm not Jesus. It doesn't say, Ralph, you know, cast all your cares on Ralph because he cares for you. It doesn't say that. It says cast all your cares on Jesus, right? But, like, I took a lot of that care on myself, and because of it, I was struggling. Like, to the point that when I was invited to go to Dominican Republic, you know, a few weeks ago, I was really talked to some of my mentors and said, I got nothing. Like, honestly, I'm empty. Last year killed me. Like, I'm done. Like, I don't have anything to give. Do you think I should go? And they said, yeah, you should probably go. So I went, right? But I was in a better place already when I went because I had to work through this issue of stress. And maybe I had to work it through. And now, because I worked it through, I can help you. And I hope I can because I realized a few things about the stress I was under. A lot of it I was taking on myself. It was my own choices that was taking stress on. It was me not controlling my thinking and my abilities, and I was just trying to take everything on me. Another thing is I realized Satan really got a stronghold in my mind. Every time I had a happy morning when I woke up, I'll tell you what, the attack was on. And the mind was being tortured, and the mind was being bothered, and it's never going to get better, and you're going to live like this for the rest of your life. And every time you get up, you fall down. You get up, you fall down again. No, this goes the other way. I get up. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, that song, but backwards, right? I was feeling like that. And every time I felt like I get like two good days in a row, then I feel like I was down under it again. It was hard. I have a lot of sympathy for people that are dealing with stress and anxiety. A lot of sympathy. And I know there's a lot of people here that are dealing with it. But there's some choices you need to make. There's some things that you need to do. And then we have to trust that God's going to do the rest. So there's a mental, a physical component to your stress that you can do something about. That is, you need to start controlling your thinking. You need to start getting into God's Word. You need to spend some time in prayer every day with Him. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to spend some time praying in tongues. Just get yourself in a problem. You need to develop some good disciplines. But there's some things that God has to break in you. There's some supernatural powers at work that need to be broken. And we're believing God that this morning, those things are going to be broken, that you're going to be free. I want you to listen to this scripture. I want you to listen to this and let the implications of its words sink deep into your soul. So you can even just close your eyes if you want. You are feeling very sleepy. No. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? The idea that you can earn your way. Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Go on a journey with me. Go on a journey, a joyous journey, a journey that's full of life. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that make you feel good? Like, come to me. You tired? You worn out? Yeah, that's me. Both hands up. Right? Come to me. But this come isn't like a gentle, hey, come on, come over here, you, right? This isn't what it is. It's an actual, come to me. So when your kid is running out in the street, you yell, hey, get over here. This is the kind of feeling this word has, come. God's calling you with an imperative saying, come to me. Stop going there. That's dangerous. Stop it. Come to me. Some of you need to listen to what God's saying today and quit walking down that same road. Let your mind go down that same road. Your thoughts go down that same road. And you need to come to Him. You need to walk with Him. You need to spend time with Him. You need to learn how He lives and the way He wants you to live. Because He didn't want you to live all bound up in anxiety and depression and fear and stress. That's not His life for you. That's the devil. That's a liar that wants that life for you. He wants you free. That's what He wants for you. And He's yelling, not, oh, ooh, come here. He's going, no, come here now. Right? You stressed today? Come to Jesus. This is what that whole verse is giving that feeling of. Come to me. But this goes on, and I love it because we're talking about the journey, right? Joy in the journey. Enjoying the journey. Well, this verse is all about the journey, right? Walk with me. Watch how I do it. Work with me. Learn my unforced rhythms of grace. I'm not going to lay anything heavy on you. This is one thing that you can know. The Bible calls us sheep. We are His sheep. Sheep are not pack animals. You don't put a pack on a sheep and make it carry its own load. Jesus carries the load for us. We were never meant to carry a load. And this is what the scripture says in 1 Peter. Be humbled by God's mighty power, so that when the right time comes, He will honor you. Turn all your anxiety over to God because He cares for you. It says in the King James, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. So cast your cares on Him because the devil is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. When we carry our own cares, we're giving the devil a place. We're opening the door for him in our life so that he can get in there. But it says, be firm in the faith and resist him, knowing that other believers throughout the world are going through that same kind of suffering. Cole, can you come up? Come up here, please. Remember I told you you were coming up? Come on up, help me. He loves doing this stuff. So this is a pack of wood pellets. Weighs 40 pounds. And Cole's going to carry it for a while. See what it says on there? Anxiety or cares. So just walk around with it for a bit. Is that too heavy? Is it heavy?
No.
It's not heavy? Okay, well, then run around the building a few times. Let's see if it's heavy. All right, is it heavy now?
No.
No? Okay, you're not working. I need someone weaker than Cole. So here's the deal. Cole's going to give. This is like, give your anxieties and your cares to God. Because really, like for me, this is nothing. I don't even feel this. I carry like 100 of these up and down my stairs in a season because I heat. I have a wood pellet stove in my basement, and I heat with it. So I walk up and down the stairs. It means nothing to me, this amount of weight. So just as much as it's different for us, right, when Cole carries the weight or when I carry it, but I was going to ask someone, you know, smaller and weaker maybe, but I didn't want anybody to hurt their back. So anyway, but like, so the idea here, though, is that God said he'd carry the weight for us. That weight that we're carrying, maybe your weight is that you don't know how you're going to pay your bills this month. That you don't know how you're going to get through this month financially. Jesus said, hey, I'll take that bag of weight. I'll put it on my shoulders and carry it. Just give it to me. And then, you know, we don't walk behind him saying, hey, are you sure you want to carry that? Like, I could carry it. I want to hold on to that for you. I'm going to carry that for you. No, we give it to God. Maybe your anxiety today is here. You're feeling sick. And you don't know what it is, and you're worried about it because you don't know, maybe this is going to take me out, this sickness that I'm feeling. Or maybe one of my loved ones is sick, and they don't seem like they're getting better. The Bible says, cast that care on the Lord. Put that weight on him because he'll carry it for you. It's not like he doesn't care about it because he does. That's why he went to the cross, because he cared for us. He cared for us. He provided that. So he said, cast it on me. Maybe your care here is that you want to get married and you don't have anybody in your life right now. And, you know, you're worried about that. But so, again, cast that care on him, right? Maybe you're worried about, you know, your kids. Maybe they're not serving God the way you hoped they would. Or maybe they're going through struggles and you can't help them and you're worried. And cast that care on him. Don't carry it yourself. Like, just put it on him. Let it go. And when you want to take it back, cast it on him again. Say, no, no, you carry it because I'm a sheep. I'm not meant to carry that. We're not meant to carry that. We weren't designed or created to carry those cares. God said he'd take them for us. We need to give them to him. I love this next scripture. And what I'd like you to do, Judah, is put up that picture I have there. This is a picture of the Mamertine prison. It's the actual picture of it. You see the hole there in the ceiling? Well, they used to just drop the prisoners through there. And then they would climb down and they'd chain them to the walls. They say in the prison you could still see the chain marks on the prison wall. They say when that was an operational prison, it was more like a sewer than like that. They've kind of made it nice now because it's kind of a holy site in Rome. That's where Paul spent his last days. They believe that's where Peter spent his last days. So it was not a nice place. It was a horrible place. It was a place that, so Paul was, like he said, you know, God's told me to stand before Caesar and speak to him. So he went through all the stuff he went through. We, you know, if you've been reading, you know, through your everyday Bible, I think we just read a little while ago about Paul's journey where he went in the ship. And he told them we can't go because the ship is going to run into trouble. And the ship ran into trouble. And then they threw everything off the ship. And the ship was still in trouble. And Paul said, well, the ship's going to be lost, but we're going to make it. He gets to the island. He gets bit by a snake. He shakes it off. He's good. He ends up in Rome. And in Rome, he ends up in the Mamertine prison, waiting for his death. He was waiting for his death. And from the Mamertine prison, where Paul was waiting for his death, where you could still see the chain marks on the walls, where his hands and feet were bound, maybe not his, but someone like him, but probably him too, and probably Peter, he wrote the words to Timothy that we all quote so many times. Timothy was pastor of a church. And I don't know if you know, but sometimes that could be a little challenging, especially if you have you know, ignorant people. We don't hear. But there's a lot of church pastors that are just tortured by their people. And Timothy was being tortured by this group of people that didn't believe that Jesus was actually raised from the dead. They had this really kind of weird doctrine, and they were just nagging at him all the time. And Timothy had talked to Paul about it, and Paul was responding to Timothy, and he said this in 2 Timothy. He said this. He said, "For God, Timothy, chained to the wall, you know, probably, I forget, was it Titus or Onesimus or one of them was there in the prison bringing him food and writing down what he was talking about." He said, for God, in this situation where, like, he's waiting for death, he's uncomfortable. It's horrible. He's got poop all around him, right? No niceness about this. These people poop on the floor. Like, it was, they said it was like a sewer. I'm just trying to give you the environment. I'm not trying to be gross here, but Paul was, like, not in a good place in this day. And he said, "Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. This is not God that's giving you this spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear that's on you, but it's not God." Right? He said, "Therefore, you should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner," that was Paul, "but be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. May the Lord give to the house of Onesiphorus, for he has often refreshed me as I was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me." So he's talking about how he's here in Rome. And I just want to show you the contrast. Sometimes we think if we could just, like, not have our problems, but we could have someone else's problems, it would be okay. Paul was in bigger problems than any of us will ever be in our life, honestly. He's facing Roman death. I believe he was beheaded. It was not nice. He was in this prison that if he was left to himself, most people just starved to death there before their sentence came down. They starved. But because of the generosity, that's why prisons have gotten better, because of Christians. Most prisons back in the old days didn't feed the prisoners. Christians came in and fed them and looked after them and took care of them. So Paul's getting, and Paul's from that spot is saying, "Timothy, don't stress. Timothy, it's going to be okay. Timothy, it's going to be all right." And from that place today, Paul, through Jesus through Paul, is saying to you, God has not given you a spirit of fear. God, the stress is not from me, it's from the devil. It's awful, yes, but God has given you spirit of power, the grace of God, the power of God living in you to be free from the stress. And God's saying that to you today. This could be the last day of your stress. This can be it today. I believe it with all my heart. I believe God's spoken to me this today, that you can be free. I want to give you some other kind of cool, you know, things, because even in dark places, God does good things. Because from this prison cell, there was probably, these are some of my favorite books of the Bible, were probably written from this prison cell. Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians, and possibly Galatians, and 1 and 2 Peter were probably written from this very cell. Some of the greatest faith-inspiring books in the Bible were written in a dark place, and God is glorified. So don't give up. Persecution never destroys the church. On the contrary, it enhances it. It is truly amazing to think that such a light as Scripture itself could come from such a dark and damp cell. That such light could truly shine from such a dark place. You might think you're in a dark place today and you can't be free, but I'm telling you, today you can be free. So here's what I want to do. I want to get the worship team to get up there. I'd like you to sing that, "I'm Coming Back to Life." And I would like you, if you're part of the worship team and you need to be at the front for this altar call, maybe someone can take your place. If not, we'll pray for you after. But like, if you're here today and you're stressed, I really believe that you can be free today. I believe part of the price of that ticket is walking forward and saying, God, I believe. I'm willing to lay down my pride. I'm willing to lay down my comfort. I'm just going to come up to the front and I'm going to say yes to God. Here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to just come up and I want you to be ready for God to set you free. If there's any kind of like a stronghold in your life of fear and anxiety and stress, God wants to break that. But you have to believe it's true, that he could break it. I really believe that anything that's holding you back from fulfilling God's will in your life, we're going to pray, we're going to ask God to break the power of that thing in your life this morning, and you're going to be free. Believe it. Anybody else believe it? All right. Good. Well, let's. If you're struggling with stress, don't wait. Come forward.